The Lunar New Year holidays began today, and it's the time when we gather with our loved ones to share warm greetings, wish each other good luck. It's also the time when we try to see what lies ahead of us in the new year through the traditional lens of Asian astrology. Making the Lunar New Year, we've invited very special guests today to delve into the fascinating and intricate world of Chinese astrology that still enjoys undying popularity after thousands of years. Joining us now is Master Joey Yap, world-renowned Chinese astrology expert and the founder of the Mastery Academy of Chinese Metaphysics. Thank you so much for joining us, Joey.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. I hear this is an extremely busy season for you, more so than usual.
Usually around Chinese New Year, there are a lot of events, and I have my own events as well. So yeah, it's pretty busy, but it's good. All good.
It's a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you.
There's
thank
a
you.
Lot of, focus, especially around the season. But I must say, even in Korea, young, the old, we're all very much fascinated by the topic. So,
really? Okay.
Yes, absolutely. So before we dive into the deep end of the pool and start explaining in detail, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Right. So I've been practicing metaphysics, which includes Chinese astrology, feng shui, qi men, yi jing, since 1997. So it's almost three decades now. And I've written 187 books on the subject.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of free time. So, and I've been speaking to crowds in my own events to 50,000 people a year live, now live stream, of course. So I just did an event in Singapore where we had 6,000 people live in person. And then in Kuala Lumpur, where there was 12,000 people live in attendance in the MyTech Center. So that's what I do.
And they're there to learn the details of Chinese astrology, for example, and feng shui from the master, right?
Yes. So, well, I share my views about Chinese astrology and feng shui every year. And I've been doing this since 2003. And I call this event the Feng Shui and Astrology Annual Event. So this year is called the Feng Shui and Astrology 2024, Year of the Wood Dragon. So I do it every year. So it's been, even during the pandemic, that's when I started doing live stream. And so it was, I think that's when it sort of went out of, you know, to, otherwise I wouldn't reach those crowd who were, they had nothing to do at the time. So they probably just tune in. So.
And it was when I think things seemed even more bleak and uncertain and people wanted to find answers, maybe even different parts of astrology too.
I think in terms of astrology, some people, when they need to find answers, they turn to astrology. But some people turn to astrology not to find answers, but to enhance their life. So, so the way I do that is we use astrology as a decision-making tool instead of a prediction tool. I'm not very familiar with how it is in South Korea, but probably, if I'm not mistaken, a lot of people might be into lucky colors and lucky numbers and lucky objects. That's the common thing. And in my career of almost three decades, I dispel these myths. There's no such thing as lucky colors. There's no such thing as lucky numbers. There are right actions and wrong actions, right?
Okay.
So.
Okay.
The idea of learning astrology is basically to understand what options we have. And so if you have a good life is basically having better options. Otherwise, most people would think that if I just make better decisions in my life would be great. It's not that easy to make good decisions if our options are bad, right? Now, if your options are bad, you can't make good decisions. So the idea of astrology is to find out what options do I have at this point in time that I don't immediately see, right? So if I can see it, then I can make a better decision. But if I
can't
see it,
you're shifting our sort of frame of mind, because you're right. I think some of us, especially if we're looking for quick fixes and quick answers, we want a lucky color. We want a silver bullet and say, this will change my life for the better. Forever.
If it's only so easy, right, then life would be so much simpler. But life is complicated, right? So the idea of astrology actually is for guidance, for understanding what are the available options, and possibly sometimes it's possible to actually see what action steps we should take to get what we want. So before we start the year, instead of saying, you know, which are the luckiest signs, in fact, we should actually change that to say which are the signs with the most options, right? So if you have more options, it's easier to be luckier. If you have no options, what is it going to be? A bit more tough, right? Because you don't have any options, right? So that's the difference. But there's always a solution, right? If my destiny chart this year doesn't come with the options, I can always seek help from friends, from partners, right? From co-workers. So everything we want in life comes from the help of other people. So when we look at astrology, sometimes we say, oh, the dragon should partner with a rooster, the rat should partner together with the ox and so forth. This is basically saying, you know, sometimes we can get help from other people, right? And if we can't do it ourselves, why not enlist the who's in our lives to open up the doorways and, you know, help us get what we want?
For our listeners who may be unfamiliar with Asian astrology, can you break down the 12 zodiac sign system too?
Sure. Okay. So I think most people have heard of the animal signs. And then they also heard of the zodiacs, which is the Western astrology, right? If you hear things like Taurus, Aries, and Capricorn, that's Western.
Libra.
Yeah, Libra, Western astrology. And Asians refer to the same skies, but in animal signs. So instead of saying Capricorn and Aries, we'll go rat, ox, tiger, rabbit, dragon. Essentially, it's the same thing. The only difference is, well, people have nothing to do back then. They look at the same stars, different names, all right? You see a dragon, I see a crab, you know? So they just, different names, right? Okay? So what essentially animal signs are nothing more than segments of frames of time, all right? So there's a year can be represented by a dragon year, such as 2024, or a month can be represented by dragon, or a day can be represented by the animal sign dragon. Not to forget that in ancient China, a lot of people are just farmers. They can't read. So they would use these signs to tell them periods of time. Okay. So what's the purpose? Well, apparently in different periods of times, they are exposed to different configurations in the stars. So that's why it's called astrology, right? Now, of course, this is going to be a big argument between the astronomers and the astrologers, because astronomers actually don't believe that the star signs has any effect whatsoever on the human life. And obviously, astrology is an art by understanding the influence of these available energies on how people on Earth are affected or influenced by. I wouldn't say affected, but influenced by it. Okay. So apparently, every single year, there are because of the Earth's orbit around the sun, because of this cycle, they will be exposed to different configurations. That configuration is how the forecasting is done for the 12 signs. So that's the basis of all of this. Okay, so some signs, such as rat or ox or whatever, might be exposed to more auspicious or good signs, whereas some animal signs might be less advantageous. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the first understanding. I'm treating you as a total beginner, so you probably need a bit
Thank
of background.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So apparently, there's also another piece of information that a lot of people don't know, that you, any one of us, have more than one animal sign. We have the year of birth animal sign. We have our month of birth animal sign. We have our day of birth animal sign and our hour of birth animal sign. So which means our charts are unique. I mean, for example, right, 2024, we can say rabbit is the least advantageous animal sign. There's almost zero good stars. So we cannot say that all the rabbits will die this year, right? Because you don't have any good stars. Well, unless you are born the year of rabbit, month of rabbit, day of rabbit, and hour of rabbit. I mean, it sucks to be you, right? But it's very hard to have a completely bad chart. So a person, no matter how bad it is, you can always find a silver lining. There's something good about your chart. And how to get a good year is fairly simple. Focus on what is good in that year, and that year will turn out to be fantastic. If you focus on what is bad, that one small bad thing, you put so much energy in that, then it's going to be a really terrible year for you, even though there are other things that are pretty good in your life. Okay,
so are there ways to also offset maybe some of the, I don't want to say bad luck, but just bad things that may lie in the year ahead?
Of course, there are so many ways to so-called offset it. First of all, bad luck means bad experience, right? Your bad experience is bad luck, right? So how do you change that? Well, different activities will lead you to different experiences. So change the activity and therefore experience a different life. That's how you change. But a lot of people think, if I just have a magic pendant, then my life will be great. If I have a crystal somewhere, life will be great. There's nothing to do with the crystal, right? So you can have as many crystals as you want, but if you're not a smart person, you're going to end up having the same problems. So it's...
Joey, I think it's just really funny, and it just tells you how maybe busy or preoccupied we are. We want quick fixes because we have many obligations, perhaps, and say a crystal necklace is so much easier than changing.
So much easier than changing our activities, right? Yeah. So, but well, if you want more money in life, it's got to be either upskilling or having the right networks or meeting the right people and doing the right thing, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know how a crystal is going to change that outcome, but. Right. But usually it's an activity. Right. So and that's a surefire way of getting there. Right. So generally what we like people to do, and that's why we have 12,000 people attending our events, because we talk about what action steps that you might take and benefit from it. Right. So that's a.
Joey, 2024 is a year of the Wood Dragon. You've previously categorized 12 zodiac signs into 4 major groups, the tenacious challengers, chance champions, skillful strivers, and fortune masters. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you broke this down?
Right. So I remember there were groups of stars, right, per animal sign. So to make it easy for people to understand, we just categorize them into different groups. That makes it easy for someone to relate to what they need to do. Right. So if they are in, I say challenges is a nice way to say, you know what, it's going to be a difficult year for you, but you know, you're going to
fight through it.
You got to look through it as a challenges, and then you got to stay motivated. Right. So that's what you need to tell them, right? If you tell them, no, the year sucks for you, then, you know, you're not going to get people really wanting to do much about the year. Right. So tenacious challengers includes dragon, monkey, and rabbit, only because dragon is the sign of the year. So those days, in ancient days, they have this thing called the Grand Duke, right? Every year, like the year of the rabbit is the boss of the year, right? Dragon will be the boss of this year. Boss means you have the leader star this year. So those days, in ancient days, they would say, if you are born in the year of birth, it's called offending the Grand Duke. So a lot of problems will happen to you and all that. So you need to lay low and not do anything outrageous so as to not attract attention, right? But that's ancient society. Today, attention is the new money, right? If you can command the flow of attention, you are in business, right? So I would think it's challenging because now you have to be in the limelight, but you want to actually say, you know what, bring it on, right? I'm going to step up. I'm stepping up my game. People look up to me. I'm going to be more decisive. So yes, it's challenging. It's a bit, unnerving to be in front of everybody. But if you do that, luck will come to you, right? Okay. So the next is monkey, right? Why is it challenging? Because monkey actually only have one auspicious star and the rest is pretty nasty. So that one star is called the three stages. Now, three stages basically implies that you're in line for promotion. Right. You're going to get to the next level. Stages is like one step upwards. So how do we use that? Is generally it means if you have the monkey in your astrology chart, it is time to volunteer your services. Because you see, if you think from the perspective of a boss, right, I can't promote someone if I don't know if this guy can actually do his job. Because if I promote you and you can't do your job, what do I do? I can't demote you. So I'm stuck with you. Right. So the best thing to do is to first showcase that you could do this and volunteer, and then it's much easier for you to get to the next level. So that's why I say it's challenging, because it's out of the comfort zone. Transformation happens outside of the comfort zone. And lastly, rabbit is part of the tenacious challenges only because it has zero good stars, like not even a single one of them, right? So basically, I can't tell this. So what do we tell them, right? So we tell them, you know what? So all these years you have help and you've never asked for it. This is the time you could actually depend on yourself. So if you want anything good, this is one of those years where you are it, right? So if you are not a dependable person, then obviously you're stuck with you for the rest of the year. So you can't blame anyone else. So a lot of people have misery, but they blame it on their spouse, they blame it on their partners. But if the spouse is not around and they're still miserable, then it's their fault, right? So this is what Rabbit has to go through, a life sort of a reflection that at the end of the day, they are in charge of their own emotions. They are the boss of their own emotions. So a bit of emotional tenacity is necessary to succeed. So that's the first group.
And then the chance champions, the skillful strivers, right, and the fortune masters. We're a little bit limited on time, but maybe you can explain just a little bit of it. Yeah.
Sure. Okay, so the chance champion basically means these groups have the most opportunities coming in. Okay. Now, so that means the chances are there, right? For goat, rooster, and tiger, they all have this thing called helpful people. Someone's going to be there to help. But here's the thing. Most people don't ask for help when they should be asking for help, right? If you're lost in the woods, the first thing you do is find a guide, right? Tell you, hey, go this way. This is going to get out of this woods. But this, the way to get the chance to succeed is to enlist the assistance of others. That's what goat, rooster, and tiger should do. Although they have different types of helpful people, lower down the ego and ask for help. Get a map. Get out of the woods. That's how you succeed. That's why we call them the chance champions. So the skillful strivers are horse, rat, and dog, right? What I mean by skillful strivers? So if you want to strive to the next level, from where you are to where you want to be, these three animal signs, what's missing is just one know-how. It's just one skill set. So if you don't know this one skill, you can pray all you want, but nothing's going to happen because you can't pray to know knowledge. You actually have to upskill yourself. Right. So sitting down meditating for 2 hours ain't going to change anything. So until you start to pick up a skill. So I call it skillful strivers because you'd basically need the skill set. Like horse, for example, most people say, I want more money. Right. But you know that investment is a skill. If you just learn how to do it, you know how to do it. Right. So this would be the year to do that. Yeah, so that's what I mean by skillful strivers. And finally, fortune masters are the three animal signs with the most money stars. Okay, so now this is where a lot of people say, I'm super happy because snake, ox, and pig, I have all the money stars, I'm going to be rich. No. This is a potential. See, the thing is this, if you have a good chart, you must do a lot more. Because you got to expose yourself, take the opportunities and work for this because that's the chance is there, right? The fortune is there. Conversely, if you have a bad chart, you shouldn't do anything because then nothing bad can happen to you because you did nothing, right? So, but people used to reverse that. On a good year, they do nothing. They wait for stuff to come. And on a bad year, they do everything. And then that's where life basically turns bad. So when it's good for you, you should do more. Right, go out, volunteer, look for the job, change the job, start your investments because it's good for you. Do more, right?
Joey, so all of this feels very counterintuitive because I feel like if I'm going to have a bad year, I should just sit still and do nothing. If I'm going to have a good year, you're right. I also want to sit still and do nothing and wait for luck to come to me.
Right. So if you go out and you get more, you get 10x. You see, a good year is when you can 10x something, but 10 times zero equals zero. So you get... Right. So you got to do something to get something, right?
You're just like piercing through my heart because I've kept none of my New Year's resolutions. I feel a little bit lazy and I feel like I should get moving and do something. Okay, Joey, I wish I had an infinite amount of time with you, but because time is of the essence, let's skip along to the next question. Maybe you can explain the concept of Bazi, also known as the Four Pillars of Destiny. It's a rather important component of Chinese astrology. We have something called Sajuparta in Korean, also equally popular and comparable to Bazi. We know it may be maybe hard to explain without visual charts, but maybe you can help us get started.
Of course. So we are born in a certain year, certain month, certain day, certain hour. And so by looking at what we call Bazi means eight characters. So in other words, there's only two forms of astrology in Chinese astrology. And I'm sure because it's probably from the same roots that trickle down to Japan and Korea, from the same source, right? So one is to look at actual star positions. The other one is to look at groupings. It's categorized, right? It's like a framework. So Bazi is a framework. It's a framework of year, month, day, and hour by looking at groups of animal signs. Remember animal signs? They have different components and that makes up a story about that person's identity, potential, growth, and opportunities, four things. So the year of birth, because it's the most external, governs the overall opportunities in your network and market. The month of your birth, which is very similar to Western astrology, governs your work environment and job opportunities and capabilities and capacity. The day of birth is your self-reflection, self-love, also intimate relationships, family relationships. And the hour of your birth generates, represents your ideas, your ambitions, what you want to achieve in life. So when you put this together, you see the whole story about a person. That's what is it. It is in parts.
Thank you so much. And Jerry, unfortunately, this might have to be our last question today. Can you share some of the more notable real life examples of how Bazu has been used to provide insights into someone's life's journey, maybe even change the course of their actions?
Oh, there's so many of you. I can tell you from my own personal story, right? That's the easiest to tell. So at 15 years old, I used to like to visit a lot of fortune tellers. And one of them actually, I remember quite a famous one in Malaysia, said to me, young man, you'll be poor until 45. I'm like, oh my God. So what happens at 45? And he said, you get used to it. So, and because of that, right? Because of that, I said, you know what? That's your view. I want to study this to see whether he was correct. So that's why I studied astrology. And I realized that what he said wasn't wrong. It's just that he didn't provide a solution. So when you're asking me whether I could change it or not, the answer is yes, because if you don't like the direction, go the other way, right? So what I did is I just went the other way because I thought from 15 years old to 45 is a good 30 years, right? I definitely can do something different. And so that's what I did. And so then 187 books later, right? Seven companies later, right? So many.
You're solid.
So I'm okay. I survived.
Joey, I didn't expect this conversation, actually. Right. I thought it might just be some vague answers, which I find to be really exciting too. But I didn't realize you would make me want to be more proactive starting at this point. Thank you so much. We appreciate your
thank
insight.
You. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you.
And bye-bye. Happy Lunar New Year. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.